How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. It is June 15, 2014, here at WrestlingObserver.com. What does that mean? Well, it means today is Father's Day. It is our Father's Day edition of Wrestling Observer Live, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We have Mike Sempervivi, a father, in fact, here on the line today, and we have got a lot of stuff to talk about. It is going to be quite the show today. Besides all of the regular news, as soon as this show goes off the air, it is the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view, and as far as I know, neither Mike nor I have been watching Impact. I have put my foot down on this show. I am on a one-month hiatus. I did not watch Impact this past Thursday night. I'm not watching the pay-per-view today, but we will run down a preview of the program for those of you that are going to watch it. We're also going to be taking your phone calls at 855-478-4478 in a while here. We will talk about last night's show, last night's UFC event, with a 125-pound title fight in the main event. Mike is here to talk about that. Plus, there is a bunch of news, a lot of which involves stuff that, quite frankly, we really don't know a lot about. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the status of Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan has been stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight title, and it is going to be up for grabs in a Money in the Bank ladder match, which is coming up in just a few weeks now. And the reason that this is important is because Daniel Bryan will not be back in action by Money in the Bank. And there are certainly rumors within WWE that he might not be back for a while. What is going on with his neck? We're going to talk about that in the program today and so much more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Sempervivi is here on the line, celebrating Father's Day, I'm sure, doing this radio show. Mike, what's going on?
I didn't know that if I went to the CMLL show today, which is on Terra MX now, I would get my chance to pose with all the Etikanis that are there. Get the free love from the Etikanis on Father's Day.
Are you talking the ring girls?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're in the wrong place then, buddy.
All in plaid skirts right now and looking pretty good. Are you wearing a plaid skirt right now?
No.
Just wasn't sure. You had a long night last night.
Vinny might be. I missed UFC last night, everybody. My partner in crime, Vinny, had his bachelor party, so we took him to Portland, and a good time was had by all. As far as I know, he's still alive.
Now, did you go to an adult venue for this?
We went many different places, actually.
See, now you should have been able to watch the show. Usually that's the place to be for a lot of people, though. Actually, for big boxing events, especially the old Mike Tyson ones, a lot of bars didn't want to pay per seat to run those pay-per-views. But many a time, you know, actually most of the time, your local neighborhood adult entertainment venue will usually have the pay-per-views on.
Well,
Demetrius Johnson isn't even a draw to strip club.
Yeah, this particular club was not playing UFC. I can tell you that right now. But, yeah, I didn't see the show. I didn't get good reviews of the show, Mike. I don't know if, maybe the people that I got reviews from were just in a bad mood. But what did you think of the show?
It was what you kind of thought going into it. It really was not much of a show, unfortunately. And it's got nothing to do with the talent on the show. But, you know, there were a lot of question marks going into it when you had, you know, Bader and Fei Zhao. Okay, which one of these two guys will show up? And you tried to create some question marks and some things going in that could be interesting because you don't want to dismiss a show out of hand. Usually when you do that, when it comes to a UFC show, you end up being wrong. There's always something on there that of redeeming value. And, you know, some of the performances were good. Demetrius Johnson's was fantastic. I mean, he looked absolutely great. Rory McDonald the same way against Tyron Woodley. The problem with both of those fights was, though, the fight between Bogatinov and Johnson was so one-sided on Johnson's side that it was just basically like you were watching a clinic. And unfortunately for Johnson and for the UFC, people were getting up and leaving as the show was ending in the fourth round, even before it was over, because he had it so well in hand. And, you know, that was unfortunate. Rory McDonald in the semi-main event against Tyrone Woodley. This was supposed to be, for all intents and purposes, a number two contenders match. And Rory McDonald absolutely lived up to his end of the deal. He looked fabulous. The problem with that was Tyrone Woodley didn't. And the aggressiveness, McDonald took everything away from Woodley early and just kept pouring it on him. And it was, again, it was a one-sided performance, a dominant performance. And you can't blame Johnson or McDonald, or for that matter Ryan Bader, for having these types of performances. It was just, unfortunately, when you look at the card as a whole, when you look at the fact it was $55, when you look at the fact that they have all of these other shows coming up, I have a feeling this was probably a must-miss for most people. And the low point, I believe, when it comes to pay-per-view buys is $140,000 for Wanderlei Silva and Rich Franklin. Henderson and Rashad Evans did $150,000. It's more than conceivable that this thing is if it's $125,000, I don't think it would be a shocking thing. If it happens to be lower than that, obviously it's not the best thing in the world. Of course, it's not the end of the world either, but it's not going to look really good on anyone's resume if this thing only did, you know, 90,000. I think it did more than that, but if that number came out that way, I don't think anybody could really fall over shocked about it.
Vinny's a big guy. I don't know if you've noticed, and he's got a fair number of big friends. And so we went to a lot of bars last night, actually. We went and they wanted to eat. They wanted to drink. There was actually significantly more interest in eating and drinking than ladies, which was kind of baffling to me. But point of this is, in not one of these bars did they show UFC. I was in Portland, Oregon, a big city. I saw exactly one bar that appeared to be playing the UFC show. And I'm not even sure they were playing it. They just had a UFC sign on the window, which kind of seemed like a permanent thing. And so I presume that they were airing the show, but I didn't actually go in there. Every other place we went was playing soccer. It's just soccer as far as the eye can see. And I don't know. I don't know what the status is really. I got one text from somebody that said that he was in a bar and it was empty. So I don't think this show did very well. It's not, I don't even think it's a talking point at this point to discuss this glut of UFC programming. We all know there's too many shows. We end up with shows like this where there's very little interest in this particular pay-per-view. And I guess we'll see how it goes. But yeah, I did not see any interest in Portland, Oregon for this UFC event. And keep in mind that Demetrius Johnson lives one state north.
Yeah, been there as pretty much his whole life. I guess technically he was born in Kentucky, but trains with Matt Hume in Parkland, Washington. And, you know, really, I don't want to say it's disappointing for him, but, you know, now we're looking at him and John Dodson again in a rematch, and there's more than legitimate sporting reason to go ahead and do that. I know Johnson would like to fight some other guys. He's mentioned some other guys in the division, but it's kind of getting to the point where he's going to either have to move up or we're going to have to maybe start seeing super fights, quote unquote, and things like that, because I don't know. Again, he's out of competition already. He really, really is. I mean, this is, if he defeats Dodson, that means he's faced everybody, all of his top contenders. He's faced him twice and beaten him twice. In the case of Ian McCall, he drew with him once and then, you know, defeated him outright with a decision the next time around. So I'm not, again, it's great feather in your hat to have somebody like Demetrius Johnson. He is amazing to watch. His skill is amazing. You know, every time Bogatinov did get something on him and twisted him around towards the cage, I mean, Johnson's back's up against the cage, and you figure that's where you want a guy like that. It's like boxing. If I can just get Mayweather or one of those types of guys into the corner and I can haul off on him. But as soon as Johnson was turned around, he was throwing knees to the legs, to the body. A tie clinch around Bogatinov's neck, so he couldn't do anything. When Bogatinov would raise his hand up, Johnson would just block it and push it back down and get himself out of it. I mean, just such a great technical, wonderful performance by Demetrius Johnson, but unfortunately he's got no one to fight. And even if he did have somebody to fight, they're just not big, you know, they're not draws. The lower weight classes, they're fantastic to watch. They make great pay-per-views. They can make a good pay-per-view great by putting that stuff on there, but it's a lot like, you know, the cruiserweights in WCW somewhat, even though they weren't given a chance to draw and UFC's tried to let these guys draw. I think they're only going to be good to a certain extent, and that's just disappointing because, God, Johnson looked fantastic. He really did put on a hell of a performance, but the pay-per-view numbers are going to be what they're going to be, and they're not going to be very good, which, again, for another lower title fight, a lower weight title fight featuring exciting guys, it's just it's part of a long trend.
It's kind of funny because he did an interview, and he said something like, he goes, I have not beaten everybody in the division, and so when I do, then it will be wiped out. I can't remember his exact, but something to that effect, and I was just thinking, who haven't you beat? I look at his record here, and it's like Ian McCall, Benavidez, Dodson, Moraga, Benavidez again, Bogatinov, and now it'll probably be Dodson again. It's like, he's just going through these guys. There could be four guys in the division.
Yeah, and before that, it was like Kid Yamamoto and Miguel Torres, who, again, both of those guys, I mean, you look at that hit list of guys that he's defeated, and...
I mean, he's out of his division there.
It's like, okay, he hasn't beaten, you know, Formiga yet. Okay, that's great, but, you know, he's also, what, you know, does he deserve a title fight? You know, again, you're just starting to get to the point where maybe either he needs to move up, which is going to be tough because he's not that big of... I mean... 125 is the perfect weight for him, but again, we're coming up on break here. I guess we can talk about it afterwards, but I don't know what you do besides go up.
All right, back in a moment, Observer Live, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. That's right, we are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. If you have the Sirius Satellite Radio app, you can check us out on Sports Zone every Sunday. We are available on the TuneIn Radio app as well. Searching Wrestling Observer or Sports Byline. And you can check us out on Twitter at Brian Alvarez. And we'll be taking your phone calls in just a moment at 855-478-4478. Mike, any final thoughts on UFC before we move on?
Nope, that was probably about it. As good as Rory and McDonald look, you know, either Matt Brown or Robbie Lawler definitely deserves to get the next shot. It seemed to be coming out of the fight that that we could see very likely Ryan Bader face off against OSP. So we did get a match out of that. Obviously, it's not the most mind-bendingly great thing in the world, but it will be a battle at that point of both of guys who are in the top 10. Realistically, I'm not sure what's going to happen. McDonald looks like he'll probably get the Lombard, Jung winner. So, I can't remember who Lombard's going to face now, but in any event, he'll probably get the winner of that. And then the winner of that will go on to face the winner of what will be Robbie Lawler or, Matt Brown against Johnny Hendricks. So that looks to, at least we got matchups coming out at 170, which is a deep and good division, even though a lot of guys have already faced each other. We at least have a battle plan for that title belt going well into next year.
All right. We are taking your phone calls, 855-478-4478. If you'd like to give us a call, today is Slammiversary, Mike. Slammiversary 2014. It is the TNA pay-per-view, which is taking place immediately after the show goes off the air. For many of you, but not all. And we've got a main event, I guess. A rather strange main event. It has been changed. Originally, it was MVP versus Eric Young for the title. And that has changed as a result of MVP tearing out his knee. And so now, we have got one of those classic wrestling pay-per-views. The one thing that I love about TNA is the fact that they never learn from mistakes. And a classic mistake in professional wrestling is to run a pay-per-view without a build main event. They never do well. And this show's got enough problems as it is, but I understand that they taped in advance. I understand that MVP is hurt, but they didn't announce a new opponent for Eric Young. They have announced somewhat of a tournament. There's going to be a Samoa Joe Bobby Lashley match. There's going to be an Austin Aries Kenny King match. And the winners of those matches will face Eric Young. So we don't even know who's in the main event until after we buy the pay-per-view. We're going to talk about that in a moment. First off, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Sammy from New Jersey.
What's up, Sammy?
Just two things. The first one was I wanted to say thank you. About a month ago on this show, I asked a favor of you, which was that if RO Ring of Honor does better than TNA in pay-per-view buys, you'll stop covering them, and I think you blew your casket before that could happen.
I didn't last that long. That's correct.
So thank you for that. Number two is just a quick question. We've got the 11 talent released this week, and from what I understand, they have the 90-day no-compete clause, and I'm trying to understand how, if they're breaking their talent's contract early, how that still allows them to tell them you can't work for someone else for 90 days.
I don't know if they have a 90-day no-compete clause. Because
I think most of them do, Brian. And
work this weekend?
Say again?
I think Curt Hawkins worked this weekend, and I know that Crime Time's already getting bookings.
Yeah, you're still getting paid by WWE, though. So you could, you know, go, okay, well, I don't want that. And in that 90-day, that no-compete, you're still getting compensated. That could be waived, but if it's going to be waived, can TNA or whoever it is, can they pay you what you'd be missing out on that way? That I think that's the thing that would prevent anyone from showing up at a TNA show or asking for that thing to be waived.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have the list of like who has a no-compete and who does not. But like I said, I'm almost positive Curt Hawkins is already wrestling on indie dates. And I know some others are going to be as well. So it could be also that Hawkins' contract expired and the other guys were released. Sammy, where are you? Are you in the subway?
No, I'm in the Borgata poker room.
You're in a poker room?
How you doing?
Yeah.
I hope you're winning.
I'm up for the weekend, although not for the table. Thank you.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it. Have a good day, and thank you guys for everything on the site.
All right. Good luck, Sammy. Good luck, my friend. I had to hang up on him.
Trying to high roll us. Look at
I don't know what he was trying to do. He's in the middle of a hand, it sounded like there. Don't call the show when you're in the middle of a hand, everybody.
Bad luck for you, too, and just not nice table manners.
No. Hopefully he remains up, though. Maybe he can send us some cash for that noisy phone call. We'll talk about the WWE releases a little bit later. It's not big news, everybody. I know there were some people on our message board that were very upset that we did not have a breaking news audio talking about the release of JTG, among others.
I think the breaking audio would be that they were able to find JTG and he picked up the phone on him.
That's
right.
Did you see his tweet?
Yes, I did.
Shouldn't have picked up that phone. You know,
hey,
funny.
Look, let's give him this. You know, one thing about JTG, give him this. I'm sure this is as a professional wrestler with professional pride. I'm sure he did not. He would rather have been out there getting to work and doing something and increasing his dollars. But when you look at it, he didn't have to get hurt. And much like Evan Bourne, he got paid for a long time to do nothing. And for JTG and Evan Bourne, and maybe the best things that I'm saying could have happened, you're losing out a lot of money, but you weren't bastardized the whole time. You've been off TV so long. At least it'll be relatively fresh when you walk it back in the door, even if it's for a limited amount of time for someone.
All right. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Bert in Oak Lawn, Illinois.
What's up, Bert?
Hey, TNA, two questions.
I hope I can answer them. I haven't been paying a lot of attention, but go ahead.
Okay, is Spike TV going to renew them?
Well, the multi-million-dollar question. Okay, I can tell you that there are people who believe that it is going to happen. Nothing has been announced publicly yet. Spike TV has not stated anything publicly. They're not talking about it. But I do know people who are close to TNA that are pretty sure that there's going to be a renewal. The ratings, you got to look at it this way. Spike does not own TNA. So Spike could care less whether anybody buys his pay-per-view or not. All Spike cares about is, will this company bring us a million viewers for a nominal fee And by nominal, I mean, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars a week. You know, will they bring us a million viewers every single week? And they don't care if the show sucks. They don't care if people don't like the show. They don't care if anybody buys the pay-per-views. All they care about is, will they bring us a million viewers? And TNA will bring them a million viewers. So my guess is that they probably will get renewed, but they have not been yet.
The other question is, I heard that there was also other promotions that were pitching to Spike to get their TV. Is
yes.
Do you know any, who it is? Are you hearing any rumors?
I don't know who it is. I know that it's not Jarrett. Sinclair owns Ring of Honor, so it's not Ring of Honor. From that point, there's not a lot of other promotions. I know some promotions that I know the people who run the promotions, and I would bet big money that they talked to Spike, but I just don't want to throw the names out here because I don't know, and I don't want to get all sorts of wacky rumors on the internet, but I know some promotions that probably did approach Spike, and at the end of the day, TNA, I mean, they are drawing a million viewers, and they're doing it for not a great sum of money to Spike TV. And I don't know if Spike is willing to take the risk with an unproven company as opposed to just re-signing TNA.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks so much for the call. All right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
This pay-per-view here. So tell me what happened. Did you watch Impact from this past Thursday yet?
I did not.
You did not. So
no, in fact, the update at the Spike TV website has not been updated yet. Last time I checked.
My God. How are people supposed to watch the show? I mean, come on.
I'm assuming probably they'd want you to do it live, but then you'll just turn out by the end anyway.
That's right. Well, we've got Samoa Joe and Lashley, and we've got Austin Aries and Kenny King, and the...
Why?
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 I don't
you
know.
You had the easy... You had your out the way that the damn thing was taped, even with MVP's injury. You had the out. Lashley defeated Eric Young. He should be the one getting the title shot. Why do we need this type of convoluted setup?
Well, because that's what they do. Hopefully it will end up being Eric Young, Austin Aries, and Samoa Joe. I think that would be the best match, but I'm not sure if we're going to get that. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
The caller hung up while we were talking.
Oh, sorry, caller. Sucks when people do that. I was too close to the break anyway. I screwed that up. We'll take calls after this next break, everybody. But again, main event, Eric Young versus two mystery men for the TNA World Heavyweight title in the main event of the pay-per-view. Back in just a moment, we'll take your phone calls, Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. We're available on the cable radio network as well, the American Forces Network, and of course, we are available every day up at WrestlingObserver.com. Daily radio shows. Every single day, we are up talking the latest in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts. As a subscriber, you get access to every single show that we do, plus full archives dating back to 2005. Want a sample? Well, you're listening to one right now. If you want more than that, head up to WrestlingObserver.com, and on the right-hand side of the page, there is a Listen Live link. You can tune in to our F4W live radio station 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Audio all day long. The most recent free shows stream on there. And again, if you want more, if you want to be able to podcast the shows, if you want to be able to pick and choose through 4,000 shows in the archives, best bet is to sign up. Once again, that's WrestlingObserver.com. Only $10.99 a month. Great compliment to the WWE Network as we review shows from the network every single week. We got Clash of the Champions coming up on Tuesday. Tuesday is going to be a mega show. I have given Vinny the night off, and so we'll be back on Tuesday to talk all of that. But more on that in a moment. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from? Turn your computer off, please. You are live.
Oh, sorry.
What's going on?
This is Gersel from the board.
Gersela, what's going on?
Oh, well, I had some fancy booking for you for tonight's TNA interview, pay-per-view.
Some fancy booking?
Yes.
All right, let's hear it.
I want to see Crazy Steve win the X Division Championship tonight. Cash it in for the World Championship match. Win the World Championship. And then kill TNA for good.
So your prediction is at the end of the night, Crazy Steve is going to be the TNA Heavyweight Champion.
Well, I figure at this point, the company can't get any worse.
Just have a clown as champion. You know what? Let me tell you something. AAA just ran a big show, and in the main event, there was a wrestler named the Psycho Clown. And if that show had taken place instead of last week, if it were taking place next week, I could perhaps see TNA saying, why don't we be the first promotion to have a clown as champion, and we'll give the belt to Crazy Steve.
Sure.
Anything's possible. Yeah. Anything's possible. Gersela, I want to thank you very much for the call. Mike, what do you think about Crazy Steve as the champion?
I hate clowns, Brian.
Really?
Don't like the Psycho Clowns, didn't like Doink, didn't like Dink, don't like Crazy Steve, didn't like Bozo, just not a fan of clowns in general. Especially, there's enough clowns in on my wrestling shows as there is. I don't think I need a real clown who's actually a clown, just drawing everything down even further.
For those of you that might not be TNA viewers that are wondering what in God's name we're talking about here, there is a group called the Menagerie, which apparently they drove in and employed themselves in storyline, I guess. Nux has brought them to TNA.
Former Mike Nox.
Exactly. Maybe Nux is paying them. I actually don't have a good explanation as to why they are who's paying them in TNA. But there is Mike Nox. Nux. He's got a girl who I believe they call... Do they really call her the Ravishing Rebel? They don't, do they? They can't.
I wouldn't doubt it after this if they do, just to steal from Lana even further.
We've got the Ravishing Russian Lana, who is in fact quite ravishing on WWE programming. Somebody on Twitter, please alert me if they really are calling her the Ravishing Rebel. But anyway,
not that there's anything wrong with Rebel either, by the way.
Well, no, but. They do have a girl who spins sticks around. They've got dudes on stilts, which my understanding is they just hired them from the park, and I don't know how much they're paid, but there probably is a possibility that they are paid more than some of the TNA contracted performers. And then they've got this guy. They got a bodybuilder. They got a guy with muscles that wears a mask. Apparently, this is big in freak shows across the country. I don't know. And then they've got a clown, Crazy Steve.
What kind of freak shows are where there's a large, muscular man in a mask laying around? This is normal at carnivals, or what type of parties are we talking about?
Listen, I go to the fair every year. I've never seen the muscle man. I do see clowns here and there. I don't see enough of the ladies with the sticks. But anyway, they've got a clown. And the clown is, in fact, tonight in a match where he could win the X Division Championship, and TNA has stolen WWE's Money in the Bank, their concept, and so the X Division Champion is allowed to cash in the X Division title for a World Championship match. So, in fact, Crazy Steve could not cash it in tonight, to my understanding, but down the road he could cash it in to win the World title. So, that is possible, Gersela. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
This is Jim from Virginia.
What's up, Jim? Let me guess. Okay. You're going to ask a question about the ladies.
Okay, I'm going to give you something that's kind of hard for me to believe. So Cauliflower Alley Club gave Brittany Santana Garrett a Future Legend Award.
Why is that shocking?
Well, I mean, has she shown anything on TNA? I mean...
Well, that would be fair, except for, like, remember, Melissa Anderson got it, and well-deserved, too, when she got it a couple years ago while she was in TNA. You can't really blame her for that, and I think, yeah, you could put up a debate. A lot of women wrestlers probably deserved it, but the California Art Club just—Brian, you could explain this better than I could.
Let me say something here really quick. I really enjoy going to Cauliflower Alley. I didn't go this year. I have nothing bad to say about the people at Cauliflower Alley. However, a couple of years ago, they gave the Future Legends Award to a guy who, for the life of me, I cannot remember what his name was. I'm not trying to be a jerk here. I cannot remember his name. I had never seen him before, and I'm pretty sure I have never seen him since. So the point is, I wouldn't worry too much about who gets the Future Legend Award.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, didn't they give something to Bo James and his wife? Just it's like a lifetime achievement.
They may have,
for hanging
yes.
out with wrestling okay. award.
Yeah,
I have to give her points on one thing. When they had the three way match with her and Madison Rayne and Gail, they did do a double superplex off the top with Gail, so that was a pretty good move. So,
no, that's good.
The match ended stupid though. Brittany and Madison got to arguing and. And then Gail just got Madison and give her the eat defeat, and that was it.
When Jim says a women's match had a stupid finish, you know that's a stupid finish.
It was. I mean, you know, it just...
I believe you.
And they do call that girl the Rebel. I don't know about the ravishing part, but they do call her Rebel.
Well, I have just got information here from Bill on Twitter who says they did refer to her as the Ravishing Rebel on Impact this week. So, yes, another term stolen from WWE.
Okay, now we want to wish some congratulations to CM Punk and AJ Lee. They got married Friday night.
That's right. They were married Friday, Mr. and Mrs. Lee.
Exactly. Now, one other thing on more of a serious tint. Am I correct? What is this deal with Daniel Bryan? Is he out of WWE, or why are they stripping him of the title, or did I miss something?
All right. He had neck surgery.
Exactly.
He had a bad neck, and they were going to go in, and it was supposed to be a rather minor procedure, and they were hoping that he would be back perhaps as early as 3 weeks later. So he has the surgery, and apparently he started to do his rehab, and after the surgery... one of his arms was actually getting weaker, not stronger. That's not good. So he was not going to be back in time for Money in the Bank, and so they took the title off of him. The tentative idea was he would be back by SummerSlam, but I am hearing people in the company now talking about how he may not be back by SummerSlam, and they don't know what's going on with his neck, and they're very concerned about it. So I don't know. But everything I've heard, I have not heard anything good about his neck since surgery. It's been nothing but bad news. And hopefully it turns around, but people are worried.
Definitely. I hope they didn't botch something in the surgery. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but he went to the best surgeon, so I just don't know what's going on.
Exactly. One last thing about TNA. Eric Carter III and Bully Ray are supposed to have a Texas Death Match.
Yes.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks so much for the call. That was good.
You know, I'll say this though. That's the one. You know, you can. It doesn't take much to rip this show in a lot of ways. But I bet you, Bully Ray and Ethan Carter could actually be really, really fun.
It may
not the greatest thing in the world. Not worth spending, but that could be really fun.
It may be very good. To the phones. You're on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian Alvarez, Danny Hernandez calling right here in Dallas, Texas. How are you?
Are you going to the show?
That's what I'm calling. I'm wavering. You know, I want to talk about how...
It's an hour away, dude. You're running out of time.
The ticket's only $12, but it's still plenty of room. But I want to talk about how I think Bill King has built up kind of a buzz in the city. I mean...
Really?
What he did was... Let me tell you what it is, because... Spike TV is part of CBS, and then here in Dallas, there's quite a bit of our stations are CBS radio stations. So, like, they would have, like, Kev Von Erich in the morning drives. You know, that's probably where they get the most listeners in the morning drive. And so he talks about how the good old days and world class, like, a lot of people still remember him, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And goes on, like, the CBS morning show here in Dallas, and it keeps hyping it up like this is sort of a Father's Day special, like this is a good thing for him on Father's. So he's really playing up the father stuff. But I want to talk about one thing is that me being follow TNA a lot, he keeps using his lines like TNA. You know, if you don't want that mainstream, you know, all that you know entertainment stuff here in TNA, they do all the wrestling, all the nitty gritty stuff, did in world class, which I roll my eyes, and I bet you do too, because that one show that
clearly he's never watched this Impact program.
Exactly, like 7-8 segments in a row, no wrestling. So, but whatever gets people at the building, like me. But like depending on what they do, they put all these CBS radios, which are pretty popular here, like in the sports radio stuff. They put him in the morning, in the evenings they bring like a wrestler, like a Mr. Anderson. He had a good one here. And, Bully Ray and stuff like that. But they don't.
Well, at least they did it somewhere.
I was going to say, this sounds like more production or more promotion for this one show than every other show they've ever done put together.
Mm-hmm. But there's still no awareness of TNA. So people are like, oh, I guess this is a pay-per-view. More focused on their son. So I'm pretty sure when they came out tonight, they'll get the biggest pop out shouting everybody.
You know how bad it is? A million people watch that show every week. Are you going to the Von Erich show?
Exactly.
Yeah, but hey, at least they'll get some people there. That's good. Yeah, so you're wavering. Why are you wavering? You're out of time to waver.
I'm just, I'm not.
What do you live next door where you can just be like, all right, I'm rolling over now?
Yeah, how far is the building from where you're at?
It's like, city do you live in? It's like you live in one of those suburbs of Seattle, so it's like, well, from where you live, and I guess to where, they had the parade for the Seahawks this year. It's probably that far away.
Oh, God, that's 20 minutes. I have to leave right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Danny, get out there. Come on. Go support the show.
I'll see what I can do. So
all right.
If not, I'll stop by Whataburger. So take care.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. We got to go to a break after we shall return in just a moment. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on the show. Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of Wrestling Observer Live, every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. And literally right before we were about to go on the air after that break, Mike just blurted out, Midget Blue Monkey! What happened, Mike?
Oh, just he's in the ring right now for CMLL. And
I
haven't seen the Midget Blue Monkey in a while. And, I don't know if it's the greatest gig in the world or not, but it is a great gimmick for me. And can you imagine if the Midget Blue Monkey would make its way to WWE to feud with Torito? How great that could be?
Are you aware that the mini Blue Monkey, I guess is the politically correct way to describe him, is nearly 60? Yeah.
Really?
He's almost 60 years old. He was in his 50s when he took that bump where, remember Ultimo Guerrero did the sliding drop kick and he was sitting on the edge of the apron and he did a flip right in a shocker?
Yes.
He was in his, everybody just, let me see if I can find out what to Google to see this clip. But I realize this is not the politically correct term, but I want you to Google midget dropkick GIF GIF. Midget dropkick GIF.
And
take a look at it. And then after the break, you can call or tweet and thank me. We will be back after the top of the hour. It is the second hour of Wrestling Observer Live. We shall take your phone calls, emails, all that good stuff. Coming up in about 6 minutes. So stick around, everybody. Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here for the next hour talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208. And streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Man, we got stuff to talk about today. We've reviewed exactly one match for the upcoming TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view, which takes place moments after the show goes off the air only on pay-per-view, actually. It's not on the WWE Network, everybody. In case you've been looking around for it, you're not going to find Slammiversary there. You have to order it on pay-per-view, $34.95. And by the way, Mike, I mentioned this last week that I did, in fact, not only did I take the $34.95 that I was going to spend on this TNA pay-per-view and buy a lap dance for young Vinny, but I did it twice. So he is indebted to me for life. Instead of having to watch TNA, he got two lap dances. Actually, what he got was two lap dances with two girls each time. So don't even get me started on what a kind gentleman I am. But
now, was this something he could appreciate too, or was he just at the end of it? Did he let out a big exhale like Vinny will and go, it was a show?
No, this was not just a show. The bigger concern was if he was sober enough to remember anything. I guess we'll find out when he returns to the show on Tuesday. But I just want to mention how funny it is that when we were reviewing that one match that we've talked about so far, which is Eric Young versus the winner of Kenny King versus Austin Aries and Samoa Joe versus Bobby Lashley in a three-way, my prediction was it was going to be Eric Young versus Joe versus Aries, because all I could think about in my brain was, what would be the best match? And here we are on the front page. Dave has suggested it will be Eric Young versus Lashley versus Kenny King, so that Eric Young will be the underdog. I had not even thought of that, but we'll talk about this after the break. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. And we are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We're talking the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view and so much more. Taking your phone calls right now, 855-478-4478. That is toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 855-478-4478. And as noted, Mike, when I looked at that main event, my prediction is, what would make for the best wrestling match in the main event? And so I chose this Austin Aries and Samoa Joe both advancing to get a shot at Eric Young's title. Dave has seen it exactly the opposite. Which one would make the most sense in storyline? And unfortunately, I guess that would be Kenny King and Bobby Lashley both going up against Eric Young. Which way do you think they will go?
You know, in a way, that would make a lot of sense, because then you'd have Eric Young, who's already lost to Bobby Lashley. He can defeat Kenny King, which he already has anyway, defeat him again, and then go on and defeat Bobby Lashley. And it would be, you know, he topped the top guys that MVP could send out there, and he tried to rig it so both of his boys would be in there, but he overcame that and overcame a guy in Lashley who's already beaten him. But then again, that may be too, you know, pro wrestling of them, and they could have Austin Aries and Joe win, and Bobby Roode comes back, and they all form some sort of heel faction to beat him down and leave him laying. When it comes to TNA and some of the stuff that they've done, anything is possible. One thing you'll probably really know, though, is even though it's only a quarterly pay-per-view and they should be building up to these things, I have a feeling the show will be built in a way where we're going to have to try to watch Impact afterwards to try to figure out what happens.
All right. To the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Bob from Las Vegas.
Who?
Bob from Las Vegas.
Bob, what's up?
Yeah, I just got a question for you. Do you think Seth Rollins turning on the Shield, do you think that's just a play for them to get Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins to fight for the World Heavyweight title?
Well, I mean, we got to figure out who's going to win the World Heavyweight title. I mean, Rollins could end up in Money in the Bank and win it. I think that the match they're really building towards is Roman Reigns and Triple H at SummerSlam.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And what about Dean Ambrose? You think he'll be the special guest of referee?
I had not thought of that, but that is not the worst idea.
And do you think that Dean Ambrose would turn on Roman Reigns too, like Seth did?
When they first considered this idea, it was going to be Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose, both in Evolution. So I would not be surprised if Dean also turned on Roman. Maybe in a month or so, they can do the. Okay. Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins match first, and then have him turn on Roman, and there you go.
Yeah, and then I got a quick question. When's Jeff Jarrett's new promotion supposed to be starting up?
Probably this fall, but there's no date or anything yet.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks so much for the call. To the phones, you are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Richard from Montreal.
Richard, speak right into the phone, please.
Oh, sorry about that.
There we go.
My question is, do you guys know who Damian Sandow pissed off in The Office?
I don't know if he made anybody mad. I think that they just they've come up with a wacky idea that a guy will be a different sports star every week, and they looked around the roster and just thought, well, Damian Sandow's funny. Let's use him. So I honest to God think that's what happened. I think they like the guy.
Yeah, I that makes sense. And my other question is, where is the Cody Lyons storyline going? Thank you.
Thanks so much for the call. As far as I know, the idea is this. Cody is choosing a new partner for Gold Dust every week under the guise that Cody claims that he is a terrible partner, and so he is going to find his brother a better partner. And so what will happen is he chooses a partner for Gold Dust every week. Every single week they lose, and then Cody can finally say, aha, I was not the weak link. You were! And then he can attack his brother and they can have a feud. So I think that's where they're going. I kind of like that, Mike.
Actually, yeah, I like it a lot, too. Realistically, I wouldn't break them up because coming out of this, I don't foresee them having anything for Cody Rhodes because they don't have a good reputation as far as turning teams and then having a good plan. But as far as the idea and doing something different, I think it's a really good idea. And I don't know if Gold Dust after this will ride off to the sunset or anything like that. But if they have a good enough plan for Cody, then why not? You know, otherwise, frankly, I would have kept them together, even though they've done everything they could possibly do. Just for the simple fact of the matter is they have very few tag teams. And if they aren't going to do anything with them as singles, you might as well have them be a team. So. But hopefully they can do something with this and they can do something with Cody.
So as Jim noted earlier, Bully Ray and Ethan Carter III, I think he called him Evan Carter III. I forget what he called him. But regardless, Bully Ray and Mr. Carter III are going to be having a Texas death match. And then we all laugh together. What do you expect out of this match? You think this is going to be perhaps the best match on the show? Is that correct?
I think it could be one of the most fun. I think with Ethan Carter with his looks and Bully Ray, obviously. I just think they could put together with all of the plunder and all that stuff. I bet you it could be really fun. I'm not saying it's going to be worth spending $35 for, but it probably will be very fun. Now, will they do traditional Texas Death Rule style? Will they have the no matter what it's no matter there's no fall. So you can actually pin a guy in this match repeatedly. But the at the end of the day, even though you may be behind on falls, if you knock your opponent out for a 10 count, that's all that's going to matter. So there's no time limits. There's unlimited pinfalls, unlimited submissions. At the end of the day, you're going to have to put your man out. And I wonder how it will go. I'll assume Bully Ray wins. And then the bigger question is, does he put Dixie through a table? And if he does put Dixie through a table, on what show will that be? Do you do it at the pay-per-view where this would figure that's what it would build up and lead to? Or do you do it on Thursday on Impact because, well, that's what wrestling does?
Well, maybe they... I don't think he puts Dixie through a table on this show. I think that would be crazy. But... there is the issue that he cannot put Dixie through a table on television because Spike does not allow man-on-woman violence.
Ah.
So he either has to put her through a table on this pay-per-view or he has to put her through a table at Bound for Glory. I almost forgot the name of their biggest show of the year. It's either got to be tonight or it's got to be at Bound for Glory. Now, Bound for Glory is their WrestleMania, and so one would think, well, obviously, Brian, you idiot, they're going to do it at Bound for Glory, but, and this may not even play into this decision at all, because I don't think, I mean, they kind of think long-term, but, I mean, they're building up the return of Kurt Angle really big, and he may not even be under contract when he's ready to come back, but they're just assuming that he's going to come back, but... Bound for Glory, as far as I know, takes place after their Spike renewal would come up. And if Spike does not renew them and they don't end up on TV anywhere else, there ain't going to be a Bound for Glory this year. Now, I do expect them to get a television deal, but you do never know. And I presume that they're not even considering this. And I would guess that she does go through the table at Bound for Glory. But I mean, if there is a possibility that this is the final ever TNA pay-per-view, then you kind of got to put her through the table on this show. But again, I'm doing a lot of speculation here, and honest to God, if you ask me, I would say yes, they probably will be on TV by the time Bound for Glory comes around.
I have nothing to add to that.
But who knows, Mike? Who knows? I don't know. No one knows. How is that for a leading?
I'm thinking about who else pitched their show to them.
All right, we're gonna head to a break. I'll tell you during the break. We're heading to a break, everybody. Back in just a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We're back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline at USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We are here talking about the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view, which goes on the air moments after we go off the air. Live and exclusive on pay-per-view from Dallas, Texas. We have gotten some fascinating tweets from the building, such as this from the real CH3, as opposed to the fake CH3, for those of you wondering. He says there's one concession stand for the entire arena. I have been in line for a beer for almost 25 minutes. That sucks. So, yeah, there you go. The real CH3, if you happen to be listening, can you please alert me as to how many people are in the building? Let's get some sort of attendance numbers here so that we can tell people how things are going. Mike, also,
if you give us an accurate count, I'll buy you a flask so you don't have to wait in line so long.
That's right. Hey, do we have opponents for these Von Erichs?
No. Although did the show with Dave last night. The seems to be the obvious answer will be Zema Ion and Jesse Goddard.
I see. I see. The Von Erichs are there. Dave says in the TV advertising for this pay-per-view, to show how sad things are, this match and Kevin Von Erich being there was promoted as the second biggest thing besides the title match on the show. And live, it would not surprise me if it was the biggest single ticket seller. Actually, based on the call earlier, it probably is maybe the biggest ticket seller. In fact, I would guarantee the Von Erichs are probably a bigger ticket seller than Eric Young versus nobody at this point in the main event on the show. Willow will be facing Magnus with Abyss and Bram in their corners. I still have yet to figure out what a Bram is, aside from the guy that wrote Dracula. That's legitimately the only Bram I've ever heard of. What do you make of this particular match here? Two former champions now doing an opening match.
What else are you going to do? I guess I don't know. I think about what you just said too, about the Von Erichs being the second biggest thing on here. They have a six-way ladder match, You would figure that should be, you know, something that should be a big deal. And they announce it. The guys find out about it when they announce it. Just kind of ridiculous. Why even do this? Why have Jeff Hardy as Willow when you need stars and you need guys people know? And granted, yeah, Jeff Hardy was stale because everything at TNA is stale, but he would still, I would figure, be better off for the company being Jeff Hardy rather than Willow, especially with the way that whole thing has been received, and he's not been. So, why not? Why do we have Ken Anderson and James Storm and on the wrong side of the fence, both of those guys playing the wrong roles? Why do they have them going after each other in a match that doesn't mean anything?
I never got a good explanation as to why Jeff Hardy, who is probably the biggest TNA star in terms of the mainstream, Why is he Willow? I don't get it. Like, I don't know anything about basketball, Mike, but what would you say is the most popular basketball team in this country?
Probably the Miami Heat.
All right, who's the most popular player on the Heat?
Probably LeBron James.
Why would you put a mask on him and call him Bob or something?
LeJames Braun or something like that?
Braun.
You just wouldn't do that,
LeBram James. How about that? LeBram James. Why would you put a mask on him and call him LeBram? You wouldn't. It would be idiotic. That's what they've done with Jeff Hardy here, and I have absolutely no idea why, but that's what they've done.
Because they're selling umbrellas.
Hey, you know, what better merch to sell in Florida than umbrellas? I can't think of anything. Could they have called him, like, you know, Jeff Del Sol, and he could sell sunscreen or something like that? Then he might actually sell something there in Florida. We've got a random... You know, in the past few years, it has become very popular to use the term random, and it always kind of drives me crazy. Like, sometimes you hear people, and every third word is random. They've decided that random is a really cool word. But in this particular case, this match was made completely at random. There is no rhyme or reason whatsoever to this match. It is a six-way ladder match for the X title, and completely at random, they have chosen Sonata, Manic, Tigre Uno, Crazy Steve the Clown, Eddie Edwards, and Davey Richards. Explain this to me, Mike.
I can do no such thing. This, and I was whining about it last night. You have a match that's dangerous, and there's no... What is the reason? What's my inspiration, as a starving actor would say? What is the inspiration for anyone to do anything in that match? It was literally thrown together without them knowing it. You have guys who haven't per se been working with each other at all. Mannix hasn't been around. Tigre Uno has been what he is. Sonata has been outside of a couple of video packages and afterthought. The Wolves are your tag champions, and they're just thrown into the match. And then you have Crazy Steve because I guess you needed him for something to do, I guess. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's, you know, not trying to sound whiny here with the bumps or anything like that. And, you know, it's not like we haven't seen, you know, thrown together dangerous matches before. But it's just these guys haven't even worked with each other. So it really is ladder matches are just spot fests anyway, for the most part. And that's all this one's going to be is a slow motion spot fest because guys haven't worked with each other. And even though there's some good talent in there, Sonata and Richards and all that stuff, still, how comfortable are you going to be with a bunch of guys who you're not used to working with doing a bunch of dangerous moves? And it just, none of this makes any sense. And there's no reason for it to even have it on there. But again, you know, this is what they've done. They were supposed to have time, 4 months to build to a pay-per-view or 3 months to build to a pay-per-view. They didn't do
That's
it in 30 days.
Happen.
They
Come
haven't
on.
Done it in 3 months.
Ridiculous. They're not going to do that. That was always a theory, but...
But they didn't, you know, they don't do it. WWE's been bad about this, too. I mean, they didn't build up the ones that were right in front of their face 4 weeks later. You know, again, you have to have such low expectations with TNA. Why did anyone think they were going to do it having this much time? It's just, it's so incredibly inept. And again... Nobody wants to see TNA go away. There should be options for guys. There should be places to work. This show's on national TV. It's just they've been given so many chances, and they've had the chance to make so many changes, and all of the changes they made have failed. And it's one of those things where it's like you got to throw your hands up at some point, as you have done, and just go, well, you know, if you're going to die, die. I just hope that the spot doesn't go away for somebody else to get on TV and have somebody throw a couple $100,000 at them as a week, you know, as TNA has. It's just hopefully that they use it better.
You know, there are a couple of things that make sense, but in reality, they don't work that way that we've seen in wrestling history. One of them is that, for example, with ticket prices, one would think that if you start charging more money for tickets, less people will buy the tickets. And in fact, that is the exact opposite of what happens. When you charge more for tickets, more people buy your tickets. That's one. Years ago in WCW, they had 3 hours of Nitro. And the it was either the first or the third hour, I can't recall. One of them was dragging badly. And so they were going to cut that hour and move it back to a two-hour show. And the theory was, if you cut that hour, then the average rating for the other 2 hours is automatically going to go up, right? Because you got rid of the lowest rated hour. Well, they got rid of that hour, and guess what happened? Somehow, the rating didn't go up. Actually, shocking. It's almost impossible when you think about it, but that's exactly what happened. And then another one was the old theory that if you've got 12 pay-per-views and you cut them down to four, you'll have more time to build up each pay-per-view. And because instead of having 12 pay-per-views, there are only four, each of those pay-per-views will be more special. And in fact, as TNA has shown, that also is exactly the opposite of what happened. What happened was they cut down to four pay-per-views a year, and there's exactly as little interest as there was before. And one could argue, based on the interest level of this particular show here, that there is even less interest once they cut to four pay-per-views from 12. So sometimes what you expect is not actually what works out in real life. And those are three examples right there. Pro wrestling is a very strange business, and you cannot always apply, although the ticket price thing is something that, I mean, that happens in a lot of different things. I mean, if you're going to try to impress a girl, you tell her that you've got $200 tickets to some show. You don't tell her you got $5 tickets to the show. So some guys are more likely to buy the expensive ones because, for example, they're trying to impress the girl. Back in just a moment, everybody. Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline, USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on our website, WrestlingObserver.com, your place for the latest news and information in pro wrestling and mixed martial arts daily radio shows. That's right, every single day we have radio shows up only for subscribers at WrestlingObserver.com. If you love this show and you only get to hear once a week, you are missing out. $10.99 not only gets you every brand new show that we do up at WrestlingObserver.com, but we have over 5,000 radio shows in our archives dating back to 2005. Every conceivable wrestling story and mixed martial arts story of any magnitude has been covered on our radio shows. If you love this program, you can go up there and download them at your convenience. You'll never run out of audio. If you want more free samples, head to WrestlingObserver.com, and on the right-hand side of the page, you can listen to our free 24/7 audio stream. And our latest radio shows are always playing up there 24/7 free for you to listen to. And, of course, you can sign up if you want more. For all of you listening on Sirius Satellite Radio that are confused because a phone number is coming up on your Sirius Satellite Radio player, don't call that number. I'm going to give you the number right now. If you ever forget this number, it is always up at WrestlingObserver.com. But the number that comes up on Sirius Satellite Radio is the number to the Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. I am here in Seattle. I run all the phones here at this studio. The phone number is 855-478-4478. Once again, that is 855-478-4478. Toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. If you miss that number, you can head up to WrestlingObserver.com, and there it is right now. We'll be taking phone calls from now until the end of the show. And Mike, very quickly here, two matches. We've got Mr. Anderson, James Storm, and Angelina Love and Gail Kim. Any thoughts on either of those battles coming up in 20 minutes?
I'll just go with Gail Kim getting the win. She works really hard, and again, nobody cares about this match, but I'll go ahead and go with Gail Kim winning, and I'll go with a double turn taking place that nobody will care about, and everyone will go, well, wasn't it that way to begin with? I'd say coming out of this match and after next Thursday's show, I will go with Ken Anderson going dirty and James Storm being the good guy, and James Storm actually getting the win tonight.
Wow. You know,
by the way, does somebody get custody of Sam Shaw and all this?
I hope not. I hope they keep him locked up for the time being. Gregory here notes that LeBron did have a mask briefly due to injury. I've retweeted this photo, and he is, in fact, wearing a mask on the basketball court. I cannot confirm if they called him LeBram, but if you want to see this, it is up at Brian Alvarez, at Brian Alvarez on Twitter.
There was controversy over that mask.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because it was a black carbon fiber mask, and then I'm not sure exactly what happened, but a couple days later, he went to a more traditional mask that athletes would wear if they're trying to protect their nose if it's been broken. But yes, there was even drama that took place over that mask.
What's wrong with carbon fiber? Who cares?
I have no idea.
If anybody knows why the carbon fiber mask was a problem, let me know so that
it's like chromed out, you know, rims or something. It looked fantastic, but apparently didn't work for him.
I've got to do an investigation into some of these masks in WWE if there's a problem with this carbon fiber. WWE announced a bunch of releases, as many of you are well aware. Let's run through some of these here. I believe 11 individuals were cut.
Lots of memories being left alone.
Yeah. Oksana, gone. No comment?
I'm so happy for Naomi, at least. Where else was Oksana going to go? One of the bodybuilders that they got in a fitness model to be there. And, you know, the thing with Naomi was truly the icing on the cake. I don't know why she was there. I guess I have some ideas on why she could have been there. But this was long overdue. Probably should have been gone when she hurt Naomi, at least back down to NXT or wherever it is that she should have been, which wouldn't have been on the main roster.
Maybe the best way to put it is Oksana had some strong supporters that saved her after she broke Naomi's orbital bone. And eventually, I guess things just took a turn. Oksana is gone. Evan Bourne is gone. He had not been on WWE television forever. And he's one of the guys that the belief is that he will very quickly get a whole bunch of bookings. He'll be wrestling all over the place. And he will
Ed's house for a barbecue.
That's right. He'll have quite a successful career, most likely, after leaving WWE. I'm sure ROH would probably love to have him. I'm sure TNA will probably try to bring him in. But
Dragon Gate, you know, he's the one by far with the most options.
That's right. So Evan Bourne probably will be fine. He had been training down at NXT. So he's good to go. He's ready to go. They got rid of Camacho, which I was upset about because I thought Camacho was doing a very good job in NXT.
Same here. You know, he got a little bit of shine in that one Adam Rose match that took place on TakeOver. Yeah. I'm not saying that he will be greatly missed or anything like that, but I think a guy who could have been a gatekeeper in NXT, I thought he was doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, very, very sad to see Camacho go. They got rid of Brodus Clay following his NXT feud with Adrian Neville. Once they got rid of the Funkasaurus character and he just became Big Bad Brodus Clay, they just clearly had no idea what to do with the guy. And away he goes. Mark Harris, referee.
Hey, if it wasn't for Brodus Clay, we'd never have Naomi and Cameron in our lives. So I guess that's okay, although it drove me nuts. He should have been a killer first and tried that way. And then if that didn't turn out to be the case, you could have turned him into comedy. And I guess, again, if anything came out of this, it was a hilarious theme song and Naomi and Cameron's thighs.
And did you see that they appear to be doing a breakup angle with Naomi and Cameron?
Yes, that nobody, do you think that will actually even stay around? It's not like it's been focused upon or anything, and I think it's been completely missed by 90% of the people watching.
I don't know what to make of this. Cameron walked out on her partner. I think it was on Main Event. I don't remember where it was exactly. But they're teasing a breakup between the girls. They got rid of Mark Harris, a referee. Apparently he'd made a bad call. And I think Jimmy Corderas on Twitter had called him on it, and then they got in a big argument, and that's a no-no, everybody. Don't tweet after midnight, as we also discovered this weekend, I might add. But Mark Harris is out of here. Kurt Hawkins is gone, which is too bad because he also was a pretty good worker. And I'm sad to see him go. I thought he looked good recently in NXT, but apparently goodbye to Kurt Hawkins.
Yeah, Bourne's got the most options, but of all the people on that list, it may be a surprise to the general public listening, but Kurt Hawkins has had a lot of fans and a lot of hardcore support for a long time. And
he was
because
good.
Of that, him showing up, and one, he's got his own wrestling school now, but him showing up at a ROH show or a DGUSA show, PWG, or all of them, very possible.
All right, let's go to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Texas.
Texas, what's up?
Hey, I think that Von Erich match is going to be built bigger than the Eli match tonight because I used to have front row ringside seats when all the Von Erich brothers wrestled here. And I'll tell you what, they've never been forgotten. Their dad used to be head honcho of this wrestling federation down here. And I'm telling you what, they were big, they were huge. And I like Eric Young, but I just think that match is going to be built pretty big because people, I'm only live 50 minutes from where they're wrestling. It's not Dallas, it's Arlington. It's at the UT. It's at UT Arlington. And I'm telling you, people had never forgotten about the Von Erichs.
Are you going tonight?
I wished I was. I got to get up early and go to work because I just never thought that Kevin, after what happened to his whole family, it was so sad. You know, they all commit suicide or die. I mean, Von Erich died of toxic shock syndrome. And
yep.
Then David committed suicide over the, I don't know if he actually committed suicide when he was on a wrestling tour over in Japan, fell ill over the side of a bed. He was found dead on a bed. You know what I mean? It was so sad. I mean, you wouldn't believe how big the Von Erichs were here in Texas. I mean, this wrestling was ran by them and the Freebirds, you know, back then in the 80s, man. I mean, I'll tell you, it was them, the Freebirds. It was Skander Akbar. I mean, Iceman King Parsons. That was the good old days, you know?
Now, are all your old friends that used to go to Texas wrestling? Are they all talking about the Von Erichs coming back for this weekend?
Yes, they are.
Man, and are they going?
A lot of them are because they want to see Kevin's son, see what they look like.
That's right. That's right. They've been doing a little wrestling in Japan, but hopefully they look good tonight. Could be the biggest match on the show.
And you know, I hope they do good because I feel sorry for that whole family. You know, I mean, my heart poured out for that family when. So much tragedy came to him, you know?
It's a terrible story, but if it makes you feel any better, Kevin is currently living in Hawaii.
Hawaii, yeah. I didn't live far from him at all, man. And he lived in Denton County, and I don't live far from really Denton either, about 25, 30 minutes away. And he had I don't know why. I guess everything that happened to him, he just wanted to start anew and wanted to get out of Texas, I guess, you know, and move to Hawaii, you know, because he's got no ties here anymore, really. His mom and dad's dead. His brothers are dead, you know, so, you know, he's really got no ties here anymore.
Yeah, one of the great and sad lines that took place on the documentary, not the WWE version, but the DVD that was done about World Class Wrestling, one of the saddest things and most poignant things said on there is when Kevin Von Erich said, you know, I used to be here and it was me and my four brothers and now I'm not even a brother. And that was so incredibly sad.
Yeah, it is, because he doesn't have any brothers anymore. I mean, he doesn't have any family. I mean, his whole family's been wiped out. I mean, it's
and in that
so
documentary
sad.
Too, he talks about him almost being wiped out by Fritz at the end with the mental state that Fritz was in, and it was again another chilling, sad thing. And that's, you know, I'm surprised the TNA up until the last week didn't do more to, and I guess maybe they did with that caller saying as far as them getting the promotion down there. You know, this is a big deal, and it's probably going to be a one-off thing we'll never see happen again. You know, Kevin just doesn't want to leave Hawaii, and I don't blame him for doing so. This may not ever happen again, and it's a should be a really cool experience for those old world-class fans, as well as for his sons who have not gotten any shine here in America at all. They were over in Pro Wrestling Noah for a little bit, getting their feet underneath them. I know they've wrestled over here a little bit, but this is going to be a big moment for them as well.
Well, I hope so, because, see, I didn't even know he had sons that were wrestling, you know. That's how quiet it had been, you know. And I keep listening to your show, and I just now found out about this Sunday. Are y'all on every Sunday?
Every single Sunday, same time.
Well, I listen to Busted Open during the week, too, and I like your show better than Busted Open.
Well, thank you. I won't let them know.
Well, But, you know, anyway, don't go away and don't let TNA wrestling go away because, you know, we need – I love it. I mean, I know it's fake. I know everything and you know everything. But, you know, the I love WWE and I love TNA. I just hope they don't go away. And I hope that that station they're on, I watch it ever that what's that station's on?
Spike
on,
TV. Spike TV.
Yeah, Spike TV. I hope that Spike TV will renew their contract, you know.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I do think they will get renewed. And yes, for those of you listening for the first time, we are here every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific. We replay Monday morning if you miss it at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 Eastern, I believe is the time.
7 a.m.
7 a.m. That's right. Don't listen to me. I'll clear it up when we come back from the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We are joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Sports Zone, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. You can also check us out in the morning, Monday morning, 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern. We replay. So head up there and check that out. Replays up as well at WrestlingObserver.com. The TNA pay-per-view is about to start. And we were talking to that caller, Mike. Kevin Von Erich living in Hawaii right now. He's got a bad back. He doesn't like to fly. And he said that his life goal had been to never wear shoes again. But unfortunately, he had to for this trip. And then he'll be back to Hawaii and hopefully enjoying himself there.
Absolutely. And again, just a tragic story. But you know what? There's a silver lining in every cloud. And, you know, Kevin Von Erich, you know, seems to hold no grudges, no ill will. Just life goes on. And again, cool thing for him to come back. And as that, you know, that was a great last call just because there's a guy who, you know, he was an old wrestling fan, still wants to hang on, still wants to be a fan. And that's like all of us. For as bad as we talk about this TNA show and this Impact show, and as bad as they make us talk about them, I don't think anybody wants to see it die because nobody wants less jobs for these guys, because guys like the Von Erichs need opportunities if they're going to try to get anywhere. And, you know, this is a big opportunity for them. So hopefully everything will work out for the best tonight. We'll find out.
All right. The TNA pay-per-view about to start. We are out of here. I'll be back later on tonight exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer and I, a post-TNA report, all of the news and more. Only at WrestlingObserver.com. Back next week with more. You're listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.